me pones un ejemplo. Entonces, si tú no quieres hablar conmigo, dímelo para yo no llamarte ni molestarte, porque nada más quedaba tú.
Real talk. Real people. Real stories. The He's Jins Podcast. Yeah! Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the He's Jins Podcast. I'm your host and founder of the He's Just a Social Worker movement with another amazing show for you today. But before I get started, I want to remind everyone that this platform was built because way too often as people, we were overlooked or labeled. But this is no longer our plight, and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. You know, when you hear the word, the artist is one who creates art to express themselves. Their objective, using their lens, is to inspire and communicate from their chosen form of expression. By ways of their creations, they engage their audiences into their perspectives, into their worlds. Meet Calicho Advalo, an internationally acclaimed architect and artist based in New York City. He's celebrated for his vibrant, large-scale paintings, murals, sculptures, and digital art. Born in Bogota, Colombia, he seamlessly integrates four essential elements into his creations: three-line stripes, wildlife, doodles, and portals. He infuses his native culture into his work. Calicho draws inspiration primarily from New York City, which serves as his greatest muse and ignited his journey as an artist. The three stripes symbolize his Colombian heritage, reminiscent of the Colombian flag. Wildlife references in his art evoke a profound connection to the symbolism of animals, reflecting the deep emotional bonds people share with these creatures. His daring use of dark portals symbolizes the passage of time and space, embodying and the resilience required to endure hardships and emerge stronger. Doodles within his artwork represent diversity, simplicity, and freedom. Through his recent collection, Rebirth Darkness, Calicho masterfully incorporates all four elements, advocating for inclusivity and conveying the message that every human has a goal. Calicho, welcome to our show.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very glad to be in this space. And, you know, it's an honor always to spread the word, to be a Latino, painting and making the life of art, you know, the life to inspire others, the life to create and dream every day.
We are thrilled to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey? How do you get involved in this work? Tell us about your journey and your walk.
Well, I started as an architect, and I came just to this country to do an internship initially, and architecture was my passion for my degree, and it was my, you know, the way I educate myself, learning concepts about art. Suddenly, I started finding my free time, the art. I started to do sketches in the subway about just animals and my family. And at some point, I realized that the art was giving me something more than just happiness, or it was also giving me a financial stability. And slowly, art started to become also part of my soul and my lifestyle. And I start to stop a little bit more doing architecture, and lately I'm full-time artist because I feel my mission right now in this moment of my life is spreading my word with art, through the art. And I feel like the concepts and things that I have in my head and what I want to become is a clear path right now on art, and I'm glad to be doing what I'm doing right now, and I'm happy to be connecting with multiple people. And you know, it's my mission right now as an artist is like somehow is be use my weapons that are brush and spray paint, and not became the man of steel. It's like a man of heart that is putting a lot of love in art.
Listen, as a fellow Latino, I'm touched not only by your work, but by your words, the way you carry yourself. It's an honor to walk along beside you just to understand the kind of depth that the Latino brings. And you bring that to this game, which is just totally amazing. Let's just talk about Calicho from Bogota. Did you always think that this is where you were going to end? And tell us a little bit about that.
No, Darrell. You know, I used to backpack different places in the world, and USA was never in the point or the place that I wanted to live. It was just life, you know. I got this opportunity. I was like, I'm just going to be for 3 months. And then these 3 months became 6 years now. And it's getting better and better. And every time I'm like, maybe I should go to another country, it's like, I have everything right now here. I came with like a backpack, and right now, like the last time that I moved, it was like a full U-Haul and more trips. I was like, where the hell I start to have so many things? How I end up having so many material paints and things, like, you know, it's a whole life right now. So I'm so attached for the love that I have of this city, for the love of my friends and my girlfriend, for the people that I have here, that detach myself from this country, it would be hard. So I end up here because destiny. I never planned it, and I end up here for an architectural internship as an opportunity.
You know, most times when you hear the great ones, they always talk about, I really did not have a plan. Sounds just like your story. I didn't have a plan. I came in here, I just had a backpack, I was ready to go, and next thing you know, boom. But those of us that have witnessed the things that you can do with that brush and with that spray can, it is amazing. And I'm going to dive deeper into that. Let's talk a little bit about one of your areas. Recently, you and other renowned artists paid tribute to Flaco the Owl. And I know that animals are a big part of your storyline. Can you tell us a little bit about these essential elements that include the wildlife to promote your work? And why is the love of animals so important to you?
Well, I feel like the animals somehow and wildlife is a very important point for connect with people. I feel like in Colombia especially, we have a special way to call with love our friends and family. And we call them with an animal. Like there was this famous soccer player that the people start to call him El Tigre Falcao, the tiger. And you start to call people El Perico, you call them different animals. And I feel in different cultures, it's been like that. We always relate ourselves through the wildlife because we feel we could have the skills of these kind of animals. People can feel furious or strong as a lion. Or some people can feel like cute as a pigeon. Or I don't know. It's up to the people to feel that reference. So I feel like my art wanted to connect through others with the wildlife. So my whole collection, my concept right now is, I painted the bunnies because the bunnies, I do the reference as the unknown. So all the people that you don't know in the city, for me, are bunnies. Mm. And as soon you start to see and know these other people, then they start to transform. And then one is an owl, other is a tiger, other is an owl. And at the end, all these paintings that I have means diversity. Because you don't see just one animal, you see multiple things. And the speech that I'm looking for to build with my concepts are now real. So I found out this owl that escaped the Central Park Zoo and then started to live in Central Park. And for me, it was so important, that story, because it was a living animal that was now interacting with every New Yorker in every courtyard. He was flying from the park to Upper West and different places. So the people were tagging him and tweeting about the bird daily. And for me, it was impressive to see that the New Yorkers were connecting through a bird. It was just a beautiful Eurasian eagle owl, and they were just connecting, saying like he was just in my balcony watching TV. He looks good. He is surviving. Everybody thought he was going to die at the week when he escaped from the zoo, and they tried to catch him, but he didn't caught the traps. He decided to follow his instincts and hunt by himself. And for me, that was so inspirational. It was like, somehow I came to this country being also an immigrant, and I trust my instincts that right now is being art, and I'm surviving with something that I didn't know I have, that is a creative art. So I feel very identified with the story, and I started to do a lot of illustrations and paint on the streets of the birch. That was basically kind of like a year doing few things of Flaco. And in January, I remember I said to my girlfriend, I think I want to paint a little bit more Flaco, do some illustrations. And at some point, I remember she invited me to, she wanted to paint in Freeman's Alley. And I follow her, and I end up painting that day a big mural of Flaco. Hmm. And that was the first mural of Flaco that I did. And at the end, the news came and asked me, like, why you did that? It's so nice. It's so kind. And a year after, I did a memorial wall for Flaco in the same spot. And because of the murals and things that I done of Flaco, other news like New York Times and Telemundo and Televisa, it was everywhere. This mural, it was literally everywhere in the city. You open a yellow cab on those days, and the first thing you see on the screen was my mural. So it was like crazy how I spread the word and the symbol of Flaco through my art. So I feel like I helped to make him more famous or more known, because a lot of people heard the story of Flaco. So I went to the tribute that he had in Central Park, in the tree that he used to be more often, and I started to spray shirts with the We Love Flaco, and suddenly I have a long line of people that was like non-stop. Since I got there till it was dark, I was spraying shirts with the symbol of We Love Flaco. And I just think it was so beautiful to see how something so tiny, so simple, became so powerful and so meaningful for the New Yorkers. So that's Calichuar right now. I'm not like seeking which animal escaped now the zoo, or I don't feel like that's my duty. I feel like it's something of heart or feeling. If I see something that I feel it will connect the heart of more New Yorkers and will inspire freedom, happiness, and be something good, I will be making portraits of things of this animal. So that's why when people buy something of my art related to Flaco or related to animals, I want to support other NGOs or companies that has animal care, like a wild bear found, so I can donate something and translate my art through an action that actually is taking care of a living animal. And that's basically what is my principles right now. It's like we are in a stage that I'm still a baby in art, in the sense that I've been like a 3 years professional artist. However, I'm very positive, and I hope channels like this will help me to connect with the right people, with the right opportunities to, you know, continue spreading my art, not only in New York. I want to be everywhere in the world, because art doesn't have a language.
You know, in your answer, there's so much to connect to. As a Latino myself, I can tell you that the story of freedom connects to us. Many a times we enter this country unannounced, unprepared, and Flaco symbolized that story of freedom. You may try to catch me, but I won't be caught. You talk about the love of an animal, and you and I are both dog lovers. I haven't showed you my pet Lily, but I see you walking around and you always take your dog around. It's a big connection that animals have with us that people who are not animal lovers really can't understand. But I found that during your journey in this story, people connected and had a chance to relate to the essence of the story. And like you mentioned, I'm really not going to go in here to try to look who's escaped, who's run away, so I could create something from this. This was something that touched your heart. And that vision, that art vision came to you, and it really stemmed over. And you should be proud of that, because not only are the pieces beautiful, but I think that now you symbolize something for children, for families who did love Flocka, who probably knew him personally and had that opportunity. So that goes one more time to say how art connects people in a bigger community land. So you should be glad that you've done that, and you should be proud. I know that in 2020, when the pandemic hit, it was considered a moment of duress. You know, our nation faced a number of issues and businesses closed, but it was an opportunity for art. I saw that there was an opportunity for open canvases where there were plywoods that were thrown up, and many artists took advantage. What did you think of that process, and what aimed you to kind of showcase some of your work during the pandemic? Was there a relation to the answer, or there were more questions?
Well, so in the pandemic, Caliche was starting to just feel the spray can, starting to understand how he's become an artist, what are the role of an artist in the city. And I start to see all these plywood boards putting in Soho. My office used to be in Soho. And in the 4th of July, there was an open call for artists to come and paint in Soho. So I show up to Prince and in Broadway, and somebody start to look at which art do you have, and I showed them mostly my watercolors, and they were like, oh, okay, I guess you can paint something here, and they gave me brushes and bucket paint, and I had some spray cans, so I start to just kind of like a paint, and I feel like in that moment it was not about my animals, it was more about the symbol of the moment. So I start to do this colorful feast with the Black Lives Matter. So that was, again, something that was beyond what for me was paint a beautiful animal that will say Caliche art. For me was like, I want to find a symbol that will represent the moment. Mm. And I initially was like going to paint the George Floyd face, but somebody was doing it and everybody was doing that. And I was like, this is too in the target. I want to be even more general. So that's why I started to put mostly of this feast. However, that day I met Jeff Rose King, another street artist, and I love his art. He loved my art, and we started to collab together. And we paint like 8 boards that day, and he was my partner for go to Soho and meet up and then just paint a couple boards more. And at that time it was completely legal paint on the plywood board, because you're not affecting the real property, you are just affecting something that is temporary. So it was crazy to notice and see that people were stealing the boards a day after you painted. They were literally aware to checking which artist was kind of like creating something nice, that people were collecting the plywood boards and stealing it. It was crazy. They were selling it in auction, in private auctions, and there was multiple photographers' books. So whatever, I feel like my opportunity to experience the pandemic was my canvas. The opportunity for me to feel more confident about that I can paint no matter the size, and I can paint so fast. So that was literally my sketchbook. I call the pandemic my first doodles on the streets, my sketchbook, the way I can start to feel more free. And I'm very grateful for those days. Sometimes I miss the pandemic, because now we don't have a Soho where you can paint anywhere you want.
That's right. And you know, you talk about a couple of things. New York City is the city of dreams, an opportunity. An artist that's up and coming paints a beautiful piece. We're going to try to make that money. That's our thought process. But following in those lines, growing up in the days of graffiti, when artwork and tagging up on trains was a big deal. and getting your name rolled throughout the city was such a big deal. I probably would have loved to see your work travel during the train times when those graffiti artists were like throwing up. I have a question for you. Is it a process? And I know that you talked about, I got there, I didn't have an idea. And they looked at my water paints. I said, okay, great. But there was something else. Okay, show me something else. And you had some, you know, some cans with you, and then you begin to throw up. Walk us through that process. Is it that you begin to have an idea? Do your hands go first? Does your heart lead? How does that art come up for you?
Well, especially in that time of the plywood boards, every plywood board, and especially as a designer, it was a new opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, like not every plywood board had the same size or proportion. Every facade had a different intention. So I feel like as soon as I arrived to the location, it was when I started to create and generate idea. And because that was something of minutes, it was like, okay, I think this is a good opportunity for a half and half. This is good for wings. This one looks good for this, for that. I remember the rhino that I painted in the Adidas store. I saw the rhino way before painted. I saw the shape, I saw everything. And I was just following what my mind was looking at the plywood lines, my naturally. So it was many times, it's just the world will give you the inspiration. And now it's different because now you go to these big walls with an intention and you want to make it fit or make it more, you know, now we have more time. Now is that, for me, it's not something that is temporary or it's going to be for maybe a day. The murals that I've been doing in the city right now stays for months. So I want to do something that looks nicer and I can also take a day or more painting in a wall. So it's completely different. However, the way to generate an idea is still the same. It's a feeling of the contact with the space.
Mm. You know, when you talk about feelings in the art world, many artists who express just like a musician would, just like a dancer would, their expression is free. It's free sometimes of the thought that someone may not understand the vision until they look closer. For you, how does emotion play into this? Are there moments that you feel like, I hate this piece? And then someone else says, oh my God, this is the best piece I've ever seen. Have you dealt with totally. That kind of situation?
Totally, totally. One of the latest pieces I made, it was kind of like a YouTube tutorial. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a realistic piece. And everybody that comes to the studio is like, oh, this is the best piece. I was like, I hate that piece. this doesn't represent me, you know? It doesn't have the concepts. Where is the portals? Where are all the wildlife? It's like, and the people is like, oh, but it looks so nice. I'm like, well, yeah, but you can find literally this in a YouTube tutorial. It should be like thousands of these paint.
Yes.
So it's funny. It's funny that for me, sometimes it's just about, you know, there is always, I feel like the most important is if the people feel connected through your art. Either if it's bad or good, it's good. It's important. Mm. So many times when the people see my mustache, they told me, oh, you're like Salvador Dali. Mm. And I was like, great, at least you are putting me in a point of artist. And sometimes when they see my doodles, oh, you look like Kit Haring. Okay, great, still an artist, you know? I think it would be funny if they look at my art and they said like, oh, wow, you look like Vicente or Ochente or I don't know, Fulanito. And you're like, well, I'm an artist. Like, you know, at least when they give me a compliment, it's as related to what I want to be. So I try to take it always very positive.
And that's what I think people are drawn to you. It's your humbleness, it's your sense of humor, and your sense of, okay, it's okay not to be okay. I could understand. You want me to look like somebody else, I can be that if that's going to supply you with what you need. But let's talk about some of your humbleness. There was a quote that you had in Up magazine, which drew me to you. It said, you know, when you're sharing about your passion about the arts, you said something like, I am an artist, and maybe everyone can be an artist. Even if you feel your art doesn't deserve much, you end up with an understanding that art is everything. What is that to you, my friend?
Totally. I feel like art right now is such a big word or question that there's multiple situations that a dance on a canvas and the steps and marks that you left on the canvas could be called art. A person that is, I don't know, throwing sand in because he was furious and he was just throwing the sand without looking for create a piece, but he throw the sand to the floor or something and then splash marks, that could be art. Like, I feel like many times people think like I'm not an artist because I cannot draw perfectly faces or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But art now is beyond the flat canvas. We are not here to be an artist, to just make another flat, perfect portrait. We are now an artist to generate experience, to make you have a thought, a memory, and make you feel something. And there is multiple tools now that helps, like this lighting. I don't know, I even feel like a week ago, I was in an event that was kind of like electronic music, and all these lights and shapes and things that they were having in the stage, that was beautiful art. And it may be AI generated or not, but it was art. Like for me, it generated also experience for me, a memory and also an idea. So I feel like there are multiple things that could be art. Like there is not only painting, like there is sculpture. I feel like 3D and digital art, so many things, so many ways to describe art. I feel like the best way to describe it in this moment is like as long you have an intention and a clash of creativity in any medium, it could be counted as art.
I'm going to say to you that your love for this game is impeccable, but the love you give to others in their areas, and hey, you guys can be me, you guys can be better than me, you guys can be, you know, you can be you, and that is all that matters. And I think that when I heard you talk about if I throw sand, if I do this, giving me an opportunity to run in that lens, because many of us, just like what you said, someone asks you, can you draw this? And no, I don't know how to draw. I could try to do something. I thought I heard you say there is so much about art that doesn't really talk about the stillness, about the perfectness of this. And that is something to really look at, because many a times people think that art is about perfection, and art is really about the heart and where that intent is at that moment. So thank you for helping our listeners make that connection. I've seen you work with children a lot. Do you know that you have that power over them, that they look at you and say, wow, this is what I want to be when I grow up? Do you know that you're able to touch so many people at such a young age and people are following you in this way?
Well, definitely not, but I'm looking forward to inspire more people. You know, like I love to teach others and I love to spread the knowledge to others, no matter the age. So I feel like we are here to do that. We are here to continue personally living this path of art, and also spreading the word of how to create. You know, it's like for me, art right now is just not, it's not just the painting. It's also creative experiences, performances, dance, sing, like so many things that can be art, that I'm constantly seeking and learning about more about that. Mm-hmm. So thank you, you see that on me.
You know, when you talked about stepping away from being an architect, and I had a past guest in my other show, El Latino y su Labor, who she talked about, she was an architect before, and then she got into art, into wow. theater, right? Funny enough, she talked about the architect, when you see them, they create a piece that makes you want to come back. And she made references to different, you know, stores like in IKEA or whatever. There's an experience. You go in thinking, I'm going to buy one item. But the architect has this ability to create something that's pleasant to the eye and easy to the heart. Is your architect skills still being showcased in your work, and how could you explain you do that?
Well, I feel like for all the skills that I can have as an architect, all the things that I can do as an architect, I haven't explored in totality all the things that I can do for art. So I feel like that, because I know what I'm capable of, I feel I haven't even touched and scraped the surface of my combination of artist, architect. Right now, the only things that I've been doing with architecture is maybe sketches of the city on my canvas. But as you said, architect, we have the opportunity to imagine something that haven't existed and generate experience for a long term. So I definitely feel like at some point I will want to generate bigger things, maybe build a whole scenario and things that are more with my architecture background.
So when you become a millionaire behind this, don't forget who told you, put your architect work to work with the art, okay? Don't forget that.
Thank you, buddy.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the pieces, and randomly people who Google you and look at some of your pieces. I've seen several, you know, random by far, and I'm definitely not an art critic, but I do know beautiful when I do see it. As a Latino, I'm extremely proud of what you've been able to lift up. There was one piece I saw, you were on a runway with a model. She had a white dress and you're walking side by side, nonchalant. Nothing was really happening, and all of a sudden she stops, you pull out the can, and you make this dress incredible. What was that like? That was such a beautiful piece. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, as I said, I've been looking for make my art a little bit more a performance, and I realized that introducing also my art on fashion will also find a new like a new type of people, because I was feeling like I was spinning on the same roller coaster, and the same people over show and the other show is the same people. So I was not meeting new creatives, and I was feeling like I was just getting stuck a little bit. And I realized that through fashion, I could just find new niche and new people and new creative. And I just realized that maybe this spray on the clothes could it be a good idea. And I found a designer that had the runway in New York Fashion Week. I told her, I haven't done this before, but believe me, it's going to be cool. And she was like, yeah, okay, let's do it and see how it goes. And that opened me other doors to spray dresses for people that went to Cannes or to the Oscars, and people that have been commissioning me to spray hoodies and other things through what it started for me just as an idea. And I'm so happy to, you know, show the speed that I can have to create, especially in something that you can wear, something that you can take to a special dinner, to anywhere. So that was a thing that I'm very happy about, and I'm hoping to create more in different scenarios.
I am definitely encouraging our listeners to make sure that they tap into you and Google you and connect. Tell us a little bit of how we can connect with you. Where can we find you? How can we connect?
Absolutely. The social media that I use more is Instagram and Twitter. You can find me like Calicho Art, Calicho Art. And that's basically where I post mostly. Of course, you can also find all my art and things more detailed in my website, calichoart.com. You can find there each project, each painting and things that I've been doing. So I'm happy about connecting with you. So if you find me in any platform, please follow me.
I want to talk more about, what do you think art means to mental health? There's a lot of people who have connected to art therapy to support their mental health needs. There are people who connect to art because it's their way of release. Is that so for you? Are there things that you see how art touches people in mental health? And can you share a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, totally. I feel like mental health is one of the most important things that we need to take care of. I personally have episodes also that I've been in the dark and I feel like I really need support from others. And my art was inspired also from dark times. Sometimes like the portals came from a dark thought. And I realized that when a seed is in the ground and emerge from the darkness, when a baby emerge reborn from the belly, it's also from the darkness. So sometimes I realize that these dark holes or portals were not that bad, because it's the opportunity to reborn, to rebirth, to create something new. So that's why I feel like a mental health is so important. And I got projects and contacts with different NGOs like NAMI and You Are Not Alone murals, where I've been spreading the word of you are not alone. Like if you feel alone or lonely, just call 788. Like it's a free line that the city offers to you, and you can just talk in case you are in a very bad situation mentally, because it's not something to hide or to feel ashamed. It's something that it could be called also as any other sickness that your body could show. It's just that it's mental. So I feel like it's something that is, it surely in the future will be more knowledge or more accurate, like go to the doctor and go also to check your mental health, like check, and I feel it's okay.
I think that as a city, New York has definitely moved towards supporting it. I think the nation has made a move to support mental health in sports in different areas. And you are totally right. There are places where we may fall, but we need to search for these support systems. And anyone who is struggling with any type of supports knows that there are ways to connect. And using your arts to spread that message, you're able to touch a larger number of populations of people and say, hey, you know, I may have had self-esteem issues, but I use my brush. I may have had issues about thinking and making decisions. And through art, I'm able to really talk and really spread the word. So thank you for, you know, lifting that up for us. Let's talk a little bit about your four elements here a bit. I know that we talked about it during the intro, the three stripes, wildlife, doodle, and portals. What is your go-to, or do you go with a mindset of a combination? What's your plan of attack?
Well, I just feel like sometimes art become like a formula or something that the people start to guess what the artist is doing. I feel like so many times when you start to see a Da Vinci or a Picasso, and then you start to see these documentaries of people saying like, we put x-rays and we believe this is the real reason of why he was doing this, there is hidden messages, and people start just to generate a story based on thoughts, on suppositions. And I feel like if I'm alive, I prefer to start to tell the people what's my art about and put these concepts more clear. So if one day I'm not here, at least everyone has the same story. And that's there, right? Is no issue. No, there is no like, he painted this girl because it was something. It's like I want the people know about more about my art, about what I'm painting and the things that I'm doing through my experiences and trying to describe. So I try to add these different elements that could be the common key or common hints on my art. That doesn't mean it has to be always there, but if you see it now, you know what I mean. So the latest collection of portals, as I said, is things that come from these spaces that are dark, and then but it's spreading something positive. Like, so I like that. The three stripes is a heritage, and it means a lot. The indigenous tribes that come from South America and that how they used to paint their faces, And the three stripes are because Colombia has three colors on the flag. So I like to put it usually next to the eyes of the characters. Wildlife, as I said, is the biggest connection with the people and how people inspire me directly to use wildlife. How many times we've seen in a flag a big tiger or and something very precious, an animal. So that means we really take care or we really care about wildlife. And the doodles are the most childish thing that I have, but at the same time, it's the most simple and it's freedom for me. When I do things with doodles, it's not planning, it's just flow. All these dresses that I paint with doodles is me being a kid, you know? Sometimes for me, telling the people that I'm a full-time artist is also telling the people I'm a little kid that make it true, you know? Like I'm making all my dreams, all my scribbles and doodles from the sketchbook now in shirts, in walls, in bottles, anywhere. So I'm happy about these concepts, and I hope I can create even more. That at the end is gonna be this kind of like a mix, you know, like a chef. I'm cooking constantly and I'm adding things that I know it tastes good. Mm-hmm. Finding the spices and the different ingredients that I think is good for my art, and I'm starting to add it year by year that I'm growing as an artist. And I hope
such a treat.
When I'm
it's such a treat to learn from artists, because many people, you know, when we are listening to artists, some artists, you know, have their styles and they have their way, but you're so homey, you're so family. Please, anyone, take your pen to start to doodle, because I know all of us doodle during meetings. Sometimes meetings are too long and you start to doodle and, oh my God, this is not that bad. When you start looking through that, you start to have a sense of relief. So thank you for bringing that little kid and all of us to make sure that we are connected in some way, shape, or form using pen and paper. You know, you have done some things for children, as I had talked about. And what are some of the things that you think art is doing that is going in the right direction? Like, I know that you're still studying it. I know that you're still learning. What are some things that you're saying to yourself? Yes, this is going
well,
in the right direction.
There is a project that I designed that is called New York City, City of Dreams. And it was just me going to the streets with a sign saying, asking, what's your dream? And then when someone came to me, I will hand in a paper and a pen, and they will write their dreams. And after, we will make a paper plane, because when you have the paper plane, you have the catharsis to become a kid again, and any dream is possible. So I'm telling the people, make the paper plane with me, then make a wish, throw it to the air, and I hope that dream can be true. So as more dreams, more life, so we can reduce the amount of people that can commit suicide in the city. And this is just a personal project.
You know what? Creative and touchy. What are some of the aspirations that you have? I know that New York City now is really pushing to have more initiatives around the art. I know there's a lot of programs that have been supporting now, because there is a connection. What are some of the movements that you're doing, and are you involved in that in any way?
There is a bunch of things that I'm doing right now. My art studio is through Art on the Ave. It's an amazing way to connect with artists and to find spaces. I also have some things with Shashama and with Coco Redux. So I've just been finding different programs and things. Also, the Museum of Urban Arts offered me the opportunity to paint with the DOT in the car-free day. So it's multiple situations and institutions that I've been contacting in order to have a full schedule during the month. You know, I do my own things, but I feel like as more programs and things that I find that can reach more more people is best for the art. So of course I want bigger walls, I want bigger programs, I want bigger opportunities. And right now, as I said since the beginning, I'm still a dreamer. I'm living this dream, and I will keep battling day by day to find what I hope I can be one day.
Do you go down to Colombia still, or do you? I know you stay in contact with family and friends over there, but
if you
do visit, what is your thought process now when you're there? Like, what do you want to see happen, or what do you want to try to do to accomplish to lift up Colombia?
Well, I haven't visited Colombia in 4 years, and I'm going soon. And honestly, it's just like something that. I don't know what could happen, but of course I want to paint more there. I want to also contact more Latinos, and I do have a community of Latinos in New York and also Colombians, but I haven't seen myself what is going to be the reaction of people in Colombia about my art, since I'm representing the Latinos. But I see it always very positive. And honestly, for me right now, my home is more about wanting to go and hug my mom, my grandma, like be with my family. I haven't have any plan or something through what I'm gonna do in Colombia. It's just more about keep doing what you are doing, and maybe at some point you will find the people that will like to spread also your art there. So, of course, it's step by step. Right now, I'm just from a place with love and with passion. And I believe that that's a path and a lifestyle that will lead you also to greater opportunities.
Well, when you do visit, friend, we are wishing nothing but the best. I know when you get a chance to go home and you're touching base in places you used to play or be around, there's going to be a lot of great memories. So make some more new memories to make sure that they are proud, not only of the art, but just of you, of the man that you are, and that they have an opportunity to touch and dream as well and say, hey, I can be Calicho. I can do something because I can do it. I know him. We grew up together. I know how to do this. So thank you for sharing that blueprint. What do you do during your downtime when it's not art? What do you do for self-care? How do you take care of yourself?
Well, there's so many things. I love ultimate frisbee. I love to do yoga. And, you know, there is a lot of communication with my partner. Like, no one is perfect. There is a lot of issues that we could have personally. So, also, if you have someone close, like, all this communication is so important to not redeem yourself, but understand what things you could change or improve to live in harmony. So that's very important. And yeah, I feel like ultimate frisbee, yoga, and any other kind of a social sport or gathering is what helps me on my free time.
Perfect. Talk to us about recently you were just recognized by Mayor Adams in New York City. It was different things, and an artist was at the forefront. Tell us about that experience a bit. What was that like for you?
Well, it was honestly a pleasure, and I'm so honored to be chosen as one of the Colombian leaders. Through all the Colombians that could be in this city, all the scientists, the professionals, and like a very amazing people, be one of these like a 15 leaders that they picked to be in a special meeting with the mayor was honored. Like we didn't get a medal or a certificate, but just the fact to be called like, hey, Calicho, we want you to be here because you are one of the leaders that represents Colombians. Come here. That for me, that's already in my top moments in the city, in the year. And be so close to the mayor, and he's seen me multiple times already with different sources. It means I'm doing something right. So it's great that I gave him a gift of one big apple with the city. And I hope he appreciated it and have it in a special place too. You know, sometimes I feel like sometimes when you have a position of power, everybody is requesting you things and asking you things and begging you for things. I feel like I wanted to offer, and not with a needing to receive. Like if something will come back to me, is because I came from a place also to offer. So I feel like that was my thought at that moment. Because some people were like, why you didn't charge? Why you didn't, you know, like, why you gave it away? It's your art. I'm like, you know, sometimes energy-wise and life-wise, sometimes you have to give without expecting to receive, but the universe will find a way to give it to you back.
I always reference Dr. Lane Pentahue. She had a quote about power. She says, power is the ability to impact others while benefiting yourself. But in this particular situation, it wasn't the benefit for you. It was a moment for the Latino male. It was a moment for the arts to stand up. And you represented that very well. And thank you for, you know, sharing that insight of what it takes to really feel honored being picked. So many great people, including yourself, that were chosen. But imagine all of the people that you may have already superseded in different areas that you caught the eye of them through your art. So you should be proud of that. Every day when you go to work, is there a story, is there a person that you make a connection with when you're drawing, when you're creating? Is there someone that really touches your life and you say, man, this is why I'm doing this work? And you feel empowered. Is there such a story, and can you share that with us?
I don't feel like every day it is someone or something. It's hard to, you know, sometimes you get inspired by the things that you never expect. It's hard. It's hard to say, like, every day, my daily routine, I find something. There used to be a time that I was doing kind of like a subway portrait. So, of course, it was more like having fun and drawing the people. But, you know, ideas for me are coming in the times that you never expect. And my iPad is my most precious thing. So no matter the time, no matter the place, I always have it with me. And I write it or draw it or do something when I have the idea. So some days you could have five different ideas and I draw it, I do a sketch or something. So it could be a week or could be even a month that I don't have an idea. But then I have all the storage of all the other 20 I had. So it's not about have the pressure of every day, I need an idea for today. Oh my God, what I'm doing. I feel like as more natural and as more with the flow these things comes to you is better. Because when you put, personally for me, when I'm with the pressure of things, I can react and I can resolve, yes. But I feel it will be a little bit, not fake, but it will be a little bit not that natural. I will have to force it. And I like the things come more kind of like magical, like it comes from me, and I at least I know I process it and I render it in my mind for a couple of days and months, and then when I have the opportunity to paint it, it could be a short amount of time, but in my head it was years. So that's about how I process my art.
You know, it's interesting, as an artist, I've asked this question and always someone connects to a person. You're the first person that makes a connection to the iPad as being the piece that really structures your life. And that really shows the word of art. The artists are thinking three-dimensional. They're thinking backward, forward, never horizontal. So that's important for our listeners to understand that many times it could be a person. Sometimes it's a materialistic thing. Sometimes it's even a digital piece that you most connect that inspires you to feel empowered. Before we let you go, my friend, the floor is yours. What do you want to leave our people with? Give us some words of what's coming up for you and about your movement.
Cool. Okay. Right now for Calicho is coming the artist talk in the studio. I'm also having art jam in my studio every Wednesday from 5 to 7. The studio is located in 28 Liberty Street. In my Instagram, I'm going to put more details about the location because it's kind of tricky to find the studio. But these two events are very special for me. I'm going to have the Wednesday's art jam is like you can just come, and there's gonna be materials and things, or you can bring your own, and there's gonna be music, some drinks, and you can just paint with me. And in the artist talk, of course, there's gonna be press and people, music, so I think it will be also great. I think that's gonna be 10th of August, if I'm not wrong. And the words that I can tell you is like, I always say this, but I feel it's important, is like, the tail that doesn't, the tail that you don't tell, it will never count. So in Spanish is el cuento que no se cuenta, no cuenta. So for me means it's like, you have to believe on yourself. You have to believe that you have this power for do anything extra or whatever is your passion. No matter if you're a dancer, an actor, a chef, you have that inner power. No, and just spread, like spread your wings and show the world of what you are made of. And of course, always from a place of love and with the best intentions, because I feel that if you start to do things with this energy, life will give you back the best.
My friend, thank you so much for those lovely words. Tell the tales that matter. Tell the tales that make us better. They say mountaintops are the epitome of one's incredible journey. Yet most times we forget the backstory, the lost pebbles, the shapes of rocks, the slippages, and the size. You see, setbacks, and all of these are your true triumphs. These are the peaks and valleys. Because on this platform, it was built because way too often as people, we were overlooked. But this is no longer. Our plight and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Tune in, friends, to another He's Just a Social Worker show, coming to another town real soon, near you. We're out.
Please note that the views expressed here are my own and not a representation of my employers and clients. Thank you for listening. We're always here for you. Just message us and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thank you. More than just at He's Just a Social Worker. In memory of my mother, Matilde De La Rosa, this is dedicated to you, Mom. Miss you so much. En memoria de mi madre, Matilde de la Rosa, esto va dedicado a ti, mamá. Te extraño mucho.